Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Queen Vi's Reality Talk. I am your host, Queen Vi, alongside my co-host, Mr. Hakim Nuba.
Hey, 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 Queen. How you doing? How you doing?
I'm here.
Change that theme song. That theme song a little too hard for what's going on tonight. God damn it. It didn't dawn on me. We got all these lovely ladies in the house tonight. I'm sitting there, got this hardcore shit playing. My bad, y'all. My bad. Damn.
Okay.
Damn.
Nazia, what's going on?
Hey, y'all. I'm good.
Hey, hey, hey.
How y'all doing?
All right.
Hey, listeners.
I'm here.
I'm here. Present. Right. That was my favorite thing in school, too. I had to be the extra overachiever. Present.
Yeah, well,
right.
I'm gonna let y'all know beforehand. I'm drinking vodka through this whole show because we're talking about them being adults with teenage children. Adult children. So
wow.
Being parents of adult children. So yeah, as you see, I'm already lit. I'm gonna need it. I'm going to need it. I'm parenting
my wine, my little blueberry wine. I keep that in my wine.
Yeah, man. Blueberry wine.
Yes. I love sweet wine. I don't like it too bitter. I don't like that tart. I like even my, like when I drink alcohol, I like the fruity parts of it. You know, and call it what you want. Yes, I do chase my alcohol with wine. I don't care what anybody say. I even mix it sometimes.
Wow. I've never heard anybody chasing alcohol with wine.
Holy shit.
They like, well, what are you chasing it with? You don't see my glass of wine right here? Mind your business.
What's my favorite saying, Nazi? A hat on top of a hat? God damn. She got two Scullies
just
on.
Get me there. Okay. Just get me there a little more quicker. You know what? Because wine mellows me out. You know? So, and I'm a lightweight anyway. So.
Amen.
Go ahead.
All right.
My drink back in the day used to be Southern Comfort and cranberry juice.
Got a flashback. Hold up.
Man, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm still a young buck to this shit. All right. So we got a bunch of alcoholics on the line tonight. So, okay, Queen, what we doing? Shit.
Welcome to episode 9.
Responsible parents we are.
Listen, we can drink, we can have fun, we can have adult time and still be great parents. You know, we're not falling all over in front of the kids. We ain't pouring the kids a glass. I mean, well, speaking of adult parents, we're parenting adult children. We'll get to that in a second. Because there's some objection when it comes to that. You know, but welcome to episode 9 of Sex, Life, and Relationship podcast. Our special guest host, author Nazia Adeyemi. Say it right? I don't like messing
good
up your
job,
name. All right. Because, you know, I always just call you by your first name. But I got to do you justice. I got to say it all.
Slow it down.
Let me sound it out.
Let me slow it out.
That's right. I don't like messing up people's names. You know.
Well, that's right.
See, that's how you know I care. Because I took the time to pronounce you.
Appreciate you.
Okay.
You ain't trying to hack it up. You took the time.
is back with us again to discuss her latest blog, The Truth About Parenting Adult Children. We'll discuss this, the trials and tribulations parents go through as we provide guidance for our adult children. Make sure you join us. You can always chime in either with us on our social media pages, and we can address and answer some questions and read the comments, or you can call in 9-4-7-7-1-4-3-6. Don't forget to press the one on your social keypad to go live with us.
Oh, okay. Man, I am so sorry.
that was a mouthful.
Yeah, yes. And that's my fault because I wrote it all ass backwards because I wasn't feeling well today. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, Queen. I'm like, holy shit, did I write that?
Yeah.
I will edit it.
Okay.
My bad, y'all. My bad. It wasn't the Queen.
Thank
that was my shitty writing.
Because I don't know. That would have backfired on me. They'd be like, wasn't she just talking about old girl that wrote back a couple of weeks ago that couldn't put a sentence together? So, y'all.
Man. Oh, it's my fault. I blame it on the alcohol. All right.
God.
So, all right. Let me get my professional business. Okay, here we go. All right. So, Miss Nazia Adeyemi wrote an amazing blog called "The Truth About Parenting Adult Children." I've read it a few times. I love it. It was insightful. It gave us a little history about you and your experiences. But in your own words, tell us what was going through your mind when you put this together.
So I have recently been on this journey with my oldest daughter. My oldest daughter is, she's just 21 years old, and her transitioning, you know, it was always my intention when I was raising my children to help them smoothly transition into adulthood. You know, I didn't want to just throw them out into the wild and then, you know, sink or swim. So I wanted to help them, you know, smoothly transition into adulthood, but I was experiencing some challenges with her, and I didn't understand why I was experiencing so many challenges, and it was a lot of lack of communication. And at the end of it, when we got past all of the lack of communication, we were able to sit down and really communicate. What it boiled down to was a lot of my actions were rooted in my own childhood trauma and me trying to give them a better experience when all I had to do was just simply learn to just let go. So this blog, you know, derived from my own personal experience, of course, as always, and just some takeaways that I learned during this situation with my oldest daughter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I know we brought this up a couple of shows ago, how your job is not over when your child gets 18. You know,
not at all.
And I see how you were saying you didn't have that growing up. So when you had your children, you was like, okay, I know how I felt. I know what I went through. So I'm going to do things a little differently or a lot differently.
Right.
How hard, if it was hard, for you to kind of adjust to that? Just knowing how things were when you were growing up and you trying to do things differently, was it hard for you to do things differently or figure out kind of like what to do, how to do it? We all had to make mistakes, you know, with parenting, period, no matter how, you know, old a child is. But how was that journey for you?
Yeah, it was extremely hard, excruciating hard. Because, like I said in the blog, I didn't have a blueprint. So all of my mistakes and everything that I learned was through trial and error, right? It's like, you know, I tried this, that doesn't work, and you have to, you know, revamp and you know, do it again or reroute, you know, find a different way, a better way to do it. And then with each children, I have four daughters, and so they each have their own different personalities and needs and wants. And so learning how to navigate that without having a blueprint myself. I don't have anybody I can go to. I don't have my mom or my dad that I can go to and say, hey, you know, or look back and say, well, my mom did this way when I was that age. I don't have that. So everything that I did was through trial and error, and it was excruciatingly hard. But I think the one thing that helped me, unfortunately, because my oldest daughter, it's like, you know, I go through everything with her first, right? And then it kind of makes it easier for her younger sisters, which is not fair to her. But, you know, it's like, you know, you're the oldest. I don't know what to say, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was horrible. And learning that 18 is not, like I said in the blog, you know, when I look back and I was 18 years old, I still needed guidance. I still needed parenting. And so I didn't want to do that to my children. But learning that me letting them make mistakes or learn things on their own or teaching them how to do it, and if they fail, teaching them the lessons in the failure, and that they fail forward and not just, you know, completely on their body. All of that was rooted. I didn't want my children to feel like I was abandoning them. I didn't want them to feel like because I pulled back or I cut the apron or I cut the umbilical cord, you know, metaphorically, that it was me. I was leaving them out high and dry. You know, I didn't want them to feel that. And as I processed that was all because that's how I felt when I was younger. And I couldn't put that on my children because they don't share that same story. You know, they don't know, they can't fathom what it's like to go without a mother for 6 months at a time. I wouldn't see my mom for 6 months. My children can't go 2 hours without going work. You know, so it's like I can't put my own issues onto my children. I have to let them have their own experiences, and I have to learn how to navigate through my own stuff. So it's been challenging. It's been very challenging. But I think me and my daughter have gotten to a place now where it's like cruise control. She's doing so well with being independent, because that was my biggest thing. She was still very much relying on me, and I was feeling drained, like, girl, you are 21. Like, I should not still have to make your doctor's appointments for you. What is going on? She was like, yeah, mom, what about you on my hoagie? What do you eat on your hoagie? You don't know what you eat on your hoagie. It was things like that, y'all. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I still go through some of that now with my 21-year-old. You know, because like you said, like you have four daughters, they all have their own personalities. I have three daughters and I have a son, and they are the same but different at the same time. You know, you can tell they was raised in the same household. You could tell, you know, they got their mama in them, but it's just certain things, it's just different. Now, my oldest, she comes to me for some things, but my 21-year-old, she's more everything. I just had to make her doctor appointment the other day, and she was like, why don't, and I'm like, you know how to do it, you just so used to me doing it.
Right.
You know, it's just, and I know it's just partly for what things that we have experienced that it causes us to kind of baby sometimes and enable sometimes to the point where we get tired of it, and now we like, okay, now look, you know, you have to do this. They can't be our babies forever. And being that my children, they both have a sibling that they was kind of grew up together with, that I still look at my 21 like the baby, because out of my two oldest, she's the baby, you know. I enable her sometimes. I do. Yeah. And they don't make a move. They do not make a move. Like, somebody could tell them it's raining outside. They're going to call. My, is it true it's raining outside? Like, they need me to check. They have to double check everything with me. I'm gonna call you back. I gotta ask my mama. I gotta see how that sounds to her. Like,
right, and at some point, you feel good, right? That they rely on you, like that they trust you. But at one point, it's like, when are you going to become a sustainable adult and be able to make your own choices? And the only way that they can do it, from what I've experienced, like I told my daughter, I said, I feel like as long as you have me and my husband to fall back on, you're going to use it. The only way that you're going to know when you don't have that support anymore, I know that you're well capable. You're very capable of doing what you need to do to survive. However, I don't want you to be put in a position where, for whatever reason, we're taken away from you. Like, we have to leave this earth for you to get it. Like, no, let's get it now. That's what I said. I want to see you flourish. As your mother, it gives me nothing but sheer enjoyment to see you grow up and be independent and flourish on your own. That makes me feel proud, because I know I've raised a beautiful, productive citizen life that can make, good productive choices. Not somebody that every time you call me, ask me what you want on your hoagie. That's not cool, baby girl. And she started making her own doctor's appointments, and then my uncle passed away and left her a car. And, getting all the paperwork switched over in her name and getting car insurance, it's a process. But she was sitting around waiting for me and my husband to do it. And if life, gets in the way and other things become more pressing, now she's blaming us. And I got tired of it. And I told her, I said, I'm releasing myself. I am releasing myself of this guilt. If you want something done, then you have to do it. If what we have to do is an inconvenience to what you need to get done at this stage, you are 21 years old, you have a job, you have a driver's license, you are capable of taking care of yourself. And I had to tell her what my vision of parenting an adult child looked like. I said, my support doesn't mean you spend your money on what you want to spend your money on, and then when you need something, you want to call me and my husband for what you need. That's not how that works. You're supposed to take care of your needs, and after you've done that, if you still need or want something else, then we'll come in and step in and assist you. But you don't just do whatever you want to do with your money and then call, I need deodorant, or I need pads, or I need to get back and forth to work. That was a big thing. Because for a long time, I still was taking her to work and picking her up. And she didn't want to pay me gas money.
That's the thing is, I got to a point where I tell my kids, I'm the backup plan. I'm not the go-to. You have to figure it out and have exhausted, all your options. And have done everything you could have possibly done within your power before you come to me, because I'm not raising no lazy, nobody that's going to be depending on somebody all the time. And exactly. I also got to the point where if they ask me certain things, I can clearly say certain things, I can give you advice, I can tell you what I would do or I have done. But understand, we are different people with different circumstances. And just because I've done something a certain way, that doesn't mean it's going to work out the same exact way for you. And then certain things, I'd be like, listen, I don't know what to tell you. Just because I need certain decisions to be solely based on, their wants and their needs.
Exactly.
And I don't want to influence it in any type of way, because I know their reason for calling me is because they want me to figure it out. Mama don't have everything figured out, and I can't figure everything out because, like you said, we're not going to be here forever.
Right.
Sometimes I'll be like, I don't know what to tell you. Listen, write down all the facts, write down your options, do some critical thinking. Come up with a plan and a backup plan.
Yeah.
And call me back and let me know what you came up with. It's it's hard with the adult things because then it's at it's also. Can you got a question? Because I'm.
No, I'm just listening. I don't understand any of this stuff because I tell my kids what do they do to get hit. So I'm just going to continue. I just don't got time. My kids, I have two twins. They're my stepdaughters. I have another stepdaughter. I have three sons. I have too many kids for me to be talking to too many times. So it's like I'm learning how to not be that way because they're getting older. So for me, I got my pen and pad out, and I'm learning from you too.
Oh, I still have to go to the desk, though. That still works no matter how.
Yeah, I will knock the dog shit out you. So I'm old school. What the hell I've been teaching you all these years, and you still sassing me. And, you know, I had someone who's listening in. I won't say their name, but I did tell them I was going to share this story. They're kid made a reference like you're trying to run my life or something like that. Said it to him.
See, once they get to that point, where they pick and choose, you know, what you're a part of, because oftentimes it's a child that can run to you and want you to help them with everything. But not tell them anything.
Yes.
When it comes to certain things, they so grown. That's when you got to do that tough love.
I was experiencing that with my oldest daughter. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Hakim.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
I was experiencing that with my daughter, and by that tough love, I had to tell her, I said, listen, you're not, because she told me that I didn't respect her. And I was talking to her like a child. And I was like, because you are a child. You live in my house. I pay for your food. You don't eat your laundry, water, television. Only bill she pays is her cell phone bill. And I was always the kind of parent where I thought that, you know, it's no benefit for me to ask my children, my adult children who work, to pay bills in the house, because if the goal is for them to be self-sufficient and get out of the house, then how are they going to get out of the house if I'm constantly taking their money? And then you have that whole mindset of, if I'm paying bills here, then I got rights here. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you want, you got to pay the bills. You got to be the boss. You want to be the boss, then you go get your own apartment. You go get a room. You do something. But you can't live here and do what you want to do. That it's that fine line. So with your the listener that's in, where, you know, I would advise, show your child what it's really like. Show them what it's like to not run their life. Show them what it really looked like, and just pull back. Don't do nothing, and then let them see what it really looks like. And I guarantee you, they'll come back. They'll come back like, Mom, I'm sorry.
You know what's happening right now, and I might be taking the conversation to a different term, but because we don't have a united front when it comes to parenting, a lot of the burden is put on Mom, and sometimes Mom has to pick her battles. And that's something I'm firmly against. You're the queen of the castle. Your word is law. Ain't nobody should be second-guessing you. Ain't nobody should be questioning you with shit. Whatever you say is supposed to go. Whoever don't like it needs to go. And that's the way we were raised, right? And what's happening is we're producing these kids who are technologically advanced and intellectual that way, but they're not good people. They're not socially capable of making decisions on their own. They can't remember their own best friend's phone number because it's programmed in their cell phone and they never have to dial it. The little simple things that we knew growing up. Just the small little simple things. That gives you an idea of what we're creating. And if we don't get out of this spoiling these goddamn kids and like you said, let them see what it's like to not have. Because I cut the money train off. Okay, you don't want to do what I say? No problem. Don't ask me for shit. I'm going to give you the bare minimum, food, clothing, and shelter. That new little Xbox game, guess who ain't getting? the upgrade to that iPhone, guess who ain't getting it? I don't reward kids for failure. And what's happening is these children now are they're entitled. They're entitled.
Well, we probably gonna bump heads on this one, because in my evolution, I feel that certain things like that is a form of control. And with your adult children, it's not my goal to control you. It's my goal to teach you how to navigate. So you don't have to, like, as far as pulling back, like, I stopped taking her to work. I told her, I said,
yeah,
you have to, it's your job, right? It's your job. You have to make sure that you get there. So when you get paid, the first thing that you do before you do anything else is to secure your transportation, whether it's with me or Lyft. But because she was saying to me, well, Mom, I don't mind paying you gas, but just remind me. Why do I have to remind you? Do you have to remind me of cell phone bill? Do you have to be sitting behind to buy yourself sanitary napkins? Why do I have to remind you to secure your transportation? So I think that now, if it's done in love, you sound like my uncle. I know you old school. I know you older than me and Vi. You have very much old school mentality. And I understand that, my uncle always said, you don't remember nobody's phone number. That's just the way of the world nowadays, right? However, if we do it in love with our children, right? They'll receive it that way. But that's another thing I wanted to address on the show tonight, too, is that in our community, right, and maybe y'all can help me answer this, why is it so that we coddle our boys, but we throw our daughters out? You grown, you think, I never wanted to put my daughters out of the house. I did tell my daughter that she was on borrowed time. And I did tell her, but I said, I want it to be a transition. I'm not going to pack your shit until you get this. I can't sleep at night not knowing where my kids are. I can't do it. Yeah. I don't see how any parent goes to bed, locks their house up, and you're dead asleep, and you don't know where your children are. Right? I can't do it. So I just feel like I'm not going to put my daughter out of the house and tell her, you better go lay up with some dude. That's the next generation. I'm not going to do that. But my goal is to teach my daughter how to become self-sufficient and to guide her step by step. I told her, I said, the first thing you do, get your car together. You got a car. Get the paperwork done. Get it fixed. And then once you got that master with paying your car insurance, then let's look at a apartment building and apartment. And let's transition into that. But you don't have a whole bunch of time. You're not going to be 28 years old in a house.
I completely
understand.
Most of you guys. Because I got a little old school ways, because some of those old school ways work. But at the same time, we're in different times. So I'm a firm believer that my job is to give you your needs. Your wants will come when you're not only when your needs are taken care of, but if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And my hope is, for me, I have instilled in my children all the things that they need to know to become, functional, self-sufficient adults.
Right.
I'm gonna be here, if you need me, if it comes to that, but. Like I said, I don't want that to be your first thing you do. Be an adult, because even as an adult, we all fall short sometimes, and we need help, we need advice, whatever. Some of us don't have people we can go to for help. So if you have someone that you can go to for help, don't take advantage of it. Give them a time limit, because that falls into a spot where, you become an enabler. If that person does not have any type of goal or plan to transition out into that world, where they have to do it on themselves and they really have real responsibilities. When my kids was ready to move out, they're out. My two oldest are out. They're doing well because of what I've instilled in them. But like I said, they I still get the phone calls. I still may have to assist every now and then, but they know my rules. So that's the first thing on my ex. Okay. What did you try? You know, what was the, you know, the steps that you take to get this done?
Exactly.
Like I said, my two oldest, they're so completely different. My oldest, when it came down for the car, the license, all of that, it was like boom, boom, boom. Because I remember a time when she was a teenager. She thought she was grown, and I had to show her she wasn't. So now, in her mind, now that she's grown, she really got to, you know, she really got to stand on it.
I had old school ways up until, if I'm being honest, up until maybe the beginning of this year. I was raised by my grandmother, so I understand. You know, back when we was growing up, it was, you know, you get the shit beat out you. Who you talking to, right? But that no longer works for my children. I had to stop that. I had to find a different way because what I witnessed that I was creating children who were afraid to tell me how they felt because they were afraid of how I was going to respond. So I had to change my response because it was simple things that they didn't want to come talk to me about, you know, life-changing things that they didn't feel comfortable coming to tell me because I was so quick to, you know, slap them or punch them or, you know, that I have girls. So I'm like, you know, I got my stuff together. It was like, you know, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to F you up. Who you think you talking to? I'm going to beat you like you'll be on the street. Why would I do that to my child, right? You know, and so it was like I had to change my way of thinking because that no longer was working. I was creating children who were afraid to talk to me. And do I want relationship or do I want slaves? Do I want children who respect me and honor me, or do I want people who are going to obey me? So I had to change how I did things, and not to say that the old school ways, you know, are horrible, but I think it comes a time where you have to look at the situation and assess it and see, is this still working? If it's working, then, of course, keep doing it. But if it's no longer working, don't be afraid to let go of those old ways and try something different. When I started to do something different, my relationship with my daughters got better. They were able to come and talk to me, even down to my youngest. When my youngest one is 9 years old, she used to be afraid to come and tell me that she wet the bed because she was afraid of how I was going to react. So she started hiding. She started hiding sheets, and she started, you know, hiding stuff. And, you know, why? I don't want my children to be afraid of me. Yes, a healthy fear is good. Your children should always have a healthy fear of you, but I don't want them to be afraid to come and tell me the necessary things because they're afraid of how I'm going to respond. So I had to change. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah,
because, you know, I was old school too, but it didn't work for me no more.
No, but I agree with everything y'all saying, and I think we need to clarify the old school methods. Of course, you don't do everything that your parents did. And each kid is different. Each parent is different. We have to adopt the things that work. Old school for me is it's you pay as you go. You have responsibilities in this house. You know, you're taught chores. You don't get to go out and hang out with your friends if you didn't do your dishes, if you didn't clean the bed, whatever your chore is. You don't get to go do what you want to do until you take care of home. You know, I'm different than that. You know, I do things different. I have my own cultural guidelines that I follow that I don't expect other people to do. You know, so it's like you hear me say, I'm not raising niggas. I'm raising kings.
Right.
Because my sons are raised one way, and the young ladies who have come across my life are raised a different way, and all of them are fruitful and successful in their own way. And they understand that any time there had to been a level of physical injustice, it's because you crossed a line that just can't, that requires it. And they, you know, so we have to know we shouldn't be abusive. If we beat our kids because we're pissed, that's abuse. If we pop them because they went so far, and this is a form of corrective actions, that's different.
Yeah.
And especially when you know, certain levels of disrespect, there ain't no talking at that point. You're not going to suck your teeth at your mother in front of me. You're not going to roll your eyes, because if I don't adjust it now, it's going to get worse as they become adults. Because when they were disrespecting us at teenage and level, imagine what they're going to do when they hit them streets when they're 18. And that's going to be on us. My thing is, we have to cater it, or we have to, you know, create it to adjust based off the kids. No, I would never do some of the stuff that my grandparents did. I would do a lot of the stuff my dad did. I would do none of the stuff my mother did, because of my experiences and the things I saw that literally put us in an adversarial position. You know, now the way my mom took care of the house and all that stuff, she raised her family based off of her religious values. I don't do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So some things you keep, some things you throw away. And our kids are going to do the same thing.
Our
kids are going to do something. Good.
I learned
my son is right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I learned that when I stopped hitting my kids, that they gain more respect for me. I never the rolling of the eyes, the sucking of the teeth, all that stopped when I stopped hitting them and started talking to them. It was a transition for me, because everything in me wanted to pop them. Like, well, who, what? But when it was almost as if, you know, they were always well behaved, but they were well behaved out of fear. But when I stopped, I remember the very last time I hit my middle daughter. I told her that I wasn't going to hit her anymore, because I lost control. And I understand what you're saying, Hakim. I lost complete control. She she had a boy in the house, and I got up in the middle of the night and I heard a boy, and I thought that they were like FaceTiming or, you know, on Instagram or something. And I went to her room and he laid across the bed with his feet up like he paid bills here. And I lost it. I lost it. And I beat her, in my opinion, I beat her so bad that I told her, I never want to feel that anger towards you again. And I'm never going to hit you again, but I need you to understand that is never, ever acceptable. And so we got past that, you know. And so now we have a great relationship, no level of disrespect. She tells me how she feels very respectfully, and I respond respectfully. If you're like, "Mommy, I don't agree with that." Okay, you entitled to not agree with that, but this is, you know, let's talk about it. At the end of the day, you're entitled to not agree with something. However, I have the last say. I'll hear you out and I'll listen to you, and if it needs some changing and some tweaking, I'll consider it. But at the end of the day, I have the last say. So that's just been my experience. But these adult kids, man, and then they set the tone for the younger ones, too. They set the tone for the younger ones. Because I said to my middle daughter, I said, okay, when you turn 18, you can start, you know, paying money towards the rent so you can learn how to pay bills. And she said, you know, her sister, she wasn't paying rent when she was 18. I said, oh, boy.
That's the other thing. Yeah, you got the. It has to be a consistency with the, because the little ones are watching and they're like, well, shit, I know I ain't going to pay too, you know. And you know, we got a comment here from Kat. I'm sorry, my kids paying me something when they turn 18. I'm not going to take their whole check, but just something so they can understand the responsibility of putting money to the side to take care of bills. That's from
right.
our Kat Collins. Yeah. That's, hey,
well,
my, my oldest son.
I didn't have to deal with my kids was 18 and 19. They had moved out, and it was by their own choice. They wasn't pushed out. So I didn't have to do the, you know, here's a responsibility or a bill or this is what you have to do. I didn't have to do that. But I do explain that to my younger kids that, you know, the older kids was up and ready to go because, you know, like you guys are saying, like, this is my house, my rules. I don't care how old somebody gets. They have to know when you live with someone, it's going to be rules. Whether it's your family, your parents, a friend, whoever, you're going to have rules. And so my kids, they was ready. They was ready. They did it in the, you know, they did it in the right way. But they know home is always open in case of emergency, and they have to come back. But just know it's going to be rules, and you're going to have some type of responsibilities. So, but I do understand.
Yeah.
I do believe that when a child is grown, they should have some type of responsibility. You know, like Nazi was saying, but responsible for her own phone bill. Like, listen, I'm going to help you with the necessities. You got a roof over your head. I'm going to cook. You have some food. You're going to help with these chores in this house. But all that extra stuff you want to do, don't come to me asking me, you know, for money to do things that's outside, you know, of your needs while you're grown, because now I don't want you to get too comfortable where you're not even trying to go back out in that real world because home is so comfortable, and you, because you know everybody want to be grown, so it's time to be grown.
It's one of them situations where you have to know your kid, and sometimes you do have to treat one kid one way and another different because it's based off of their personality and their character traits. There's going to be that one kid where, you know, when they hit the ground running, they're going to be cool. You ain't got to worry about them. And for me, that's my oldest son, you know, Hakim. He just, man, the one thing I had to say to him is when he got his first car. No, I'm sorry, he was driving his mother's car, and she put him on the insurance, and he was working and going to school, and he had more disposable income than the rest of us. He had no responsibilities. So she's telling me, yeah, you know, I'm going through money problems. I said, well, what is he giving you? He brings his little girlfriend over. He's driving your car. He's probably banging her in your car. You mean to tell me he ain't paying at least to the insurance? Putting gas in?
Right.
So I called him and said, listen, you got a choice. Either you put her on a bus or a Lyft or an Uber, or you pay towards the car. You're not going to get to ride around in her car and enjoy life while she's struggling.
Yeah,
so
that's one thing
that's the way it was.
That's definitely one thing you should never do as parents, especially to adult children, is to put ourselves in a bond, especially when you have other kids that you, you know, that's minors that you have to care for to still be taking care of this adult child.
All right, just you know, but once I had the conversation, the scary part is for us dads who are listening. We gotta make sure we understand, especially when the boys are living with mom. We need to make sure everything's running the way it's supposed to run over there, because these boys will take advantage, and then they're coming out all screwed up, and we don't know what happened. We're not there every day. You know what I mean? So we got to make sure we understand that mom is okay. Because you know how it is for us men. You know, when we're young, we think we know everything. We hard-headed, whatever. So we put all this extra stress on mom. And they didn't tell me until a year. And I said, why didn't you tell me? Well, I didn't want you to get mad at him. Get mad at him? I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to correct him. I don't know why people think I'm just a psychopath. God damn. He's a boy. What, I'm supposed to be, to pat him on his ass? No. Take care of it. Help your mom. You're living at her house. Help out. Why don't you buy some groceries this week? You know? Now look at him. Has his own place. Still in college. Still working. You know what I mean? He's doing good.
Yeah, good
you know,
job.
So it's because I just didn't allow him. It is not okay to be basic. It is not. I don't care what anybody else is doing. If you have my last name, you're going to live a certain way. You're going to work a certain way. I teach them that as they're young. Now, when you get old enough to make those changes, you can. But you've got to take your home first. And we got to put that into our boys and our girls. So when they turn 18, it'll be a smooth transition.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this 18, I mentioned in the blog, you know, the law says that the children are legal at 18, but I don't think mm-hmm. 18 is a age where they automatically have to assume so much responsibility. I think that in order to prevent, you know, getting to the point where I've gotten to, because it took me till my daughter was 21 years old and to get frustrated. And like you said, Vi, when I started feeling drained from still parenting her, that I felt like I didn't have anything to give to my little ones, that's when I felt like I was like, okay, something has to happen. And it became like a crash course as opposed to a gradual transition. But I think that mm-hmm. if we start earlier, and like Kat said with the with paying something, I absolutely agree with that. And it goes up, take it a step further. They pay something, put it up, like save it for them. So when they move out, now they have a lump sum. Like we as African Americans have to give our children that head start. We are the only culture that does not believe in giving our children a head start. We feel like, oh, I struggle, so they should struggle. Why? You know,
yeah.
Like, I think that's taking a step, like, you know, with the them, if they do pay something, I think it's a great idea to put some of it up so when they are ready to move out, and don't even tell them that you're doing it. Don't even tell them that you're doing it. And then when they get ready to move out, just here, hand them a lump sum of money. I've been saving all the bills you've been paying. I've been saving it, and here you go. Here's a good starter up. I think that's a great idea. I'm going to start doing that for my kids.
Yeah. Well, remember when we were young, they had Christmas clubs and stuff like that. That's the kind of that's the kind of stuff that we had when we were growing up. Where, especially when we got that first job, you know, I had to give up what, $25 a month. Yeah. I can't two shits about Christmas. I was mad as hell. My mom's talking about someone. You know you're going to get your own Christmas club, so you're going to have to give me $50 a month. At that point, I wasn't a Christian anymore. I wasn't celebrating that. Well, you'll get the hell out of here. But I understood it. It was to teach me to plan ahead. So when December came around, I had all this money sitting in the bank, and I was like, oh, well, shit, maybe that is something to it. And it taught me the value of money. It taught me the value of planning ahead. But yeah, I agree. We should be doing stuff like that. You know, it'd be good.
Remember when banks would come to the school and teach us? I remember sitting in class and like this lady from this bank was teaching us how to balance checkbooks, and then they gave us like a $5 or $10 little money voucher or something to go open up a account at this particular bank. Anyone of y'all remember that, or was it just me?
Oh no, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I had it at my school, but my daughter did. They actually was able to open up a bank account, and it was like no interest or fees because they were still in high school. It kind of matched what they put in up to a certain point.
Yeah.
So they did have that. So and that's the thing about it is they need to. It's a lot of things they need to add into the curriculum when it comes to school. I see completely different teaching out here in Morris County where my kids go to school at versus when they were in Essex County. And just luckily, the kids, the elementary school that my kids went to in Newark, they did have a principal that went over and beyond to get certain programs that other schools in Newark didn't have. You know, and even made sure she used all the connections that she could get to get people to help sponsor these programs, and she was coming out of her pocket. So I am thankful for her. And she's still at it. she's still at it. When the pandemic first happened, she made sure she put all the training she can get. When Newark Board of Education was not supplying laptops, oh, she got everybody in that school a laptop with her own device.
Mm-hmm.
She was not waiting for the Board of Education. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, these school systems need to add some things in it.
We got another comment from Zio Style. She says, I don't know if I agree with we don't give a head start, but think about the fact that most of us can't afford to, just barely making ends meet. And that's true. You can't play your pockets, I guess.
Yeah, it depends on what you got going on.
No, I was saying don't play your pockets. You know, if you are okay and you're on top of your bills, and because again, kids get entitled and spoiled very quick in this modern time. You know, because it's so easy, everything's so accessible, everything's at the tip of the fingers. You know, you hit an ad, boom, something gets delivered right to your door. That creates a certain mindset. So if your money is okay, you're not rich, but you're on top of everything, you really don't need to take anything from your kids, I recommend doing Nazia's suggestion. Put something up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean,
put something up.
And you're right. It all depends on the child, too, because, you know, me and my twin sister, we both had summer jobs when we hit 13, where she just went, like, every check, spent. Me, I was getting some of the stuff I needed so my mom wouldn't have to do it when school starts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My son is 14 now. He's, you know, when he was 13, he was trying to get a job. I was like, you know, you might find some places that might can, especially during the summertime, but, like, he ready, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're going to have to try to figure something out where, you know, because what I did used to do with my kids, too, when I used to throw events and stuff, they used to work the events. Like, even my 35th, my prom thing birthday party, my nieces and my daughters, they worked. They were servers. They had to come in uniform. I treated them just like it was a job. I was a, mm-hmm. you know, they had to follow the rules, dress code, you know, do things in a particular way, and they was able to make their money. So same deal with my son. If he want to, you know, make some money, that's one thing. He doesn't really too much just ask for stuff. He's like, can I work for it? So hopefully
yeah.
that stays instilled in him. And I just want to kind of touch, touch on earlier, you was talking about how the girls are just, you know, pushed out so fast and not versus the boys, and our boys are kind of coddled. For me, being that I've seen that, I don't do that with my kids. They all going to get the same, like all across the board, male or female, the older ones, the younger ones. Because I've seen it with certain people in a family member, and I've seen it in my household. My mom had, it was three girls, one boy. My brother, I felt like he got away with murder, I'm telling you. So I always said when I had my son, like, okay, I'm going to make sure. Because they was like, oh, so I had my son. Oh, you're going to spoil him. I'm not going to spoil him any more than the girls. I don't do anything different. Just like I'm making sure the girls can do the quote-unquote gender roles. Like in my house, we don't have gender roles. Everybody can take out the garbage. Everybody know how to cook. Everybody know how to do laundry. So I'm kind of making sure I instill both things. You know, cause just think about it. We are raising somebody's future parents. Amazing.
Yes.
I gotta think. Whew, I would hate to have to beat my grown son up because he come out there and don't know how to treat some girl. I'm telling him, this is what, because you do have some males that grow up, and notice I didn't say men, males that grow up and they're not fully men yet, and they don't watch their mother do it by themselves, and then they turn around and don't know how to treat women. And don't know how to be responsible, and don't know how to deal with their
kids. They expect every woman that they get with to do what their mother did because their mother struggled, because their mother helped them, because their mother didn't require them to do anything. Now it becomes an expectation. I'm like, and we not man bashing. We just speaking the truth. That's what happens. I tell my girlfriends that I don't have any sons. But I tell my girlfriends that have sons, like you said, you have to. You're raising somebody's husband and somebody's son and somebody's father. So as women who were once single, in the dating field, dealing with these men who wanted you to, you know, be your, they wanted you to be their ride or die. They want you to cook for them. They want to come to your house and put their feet up. But then when it comes down, it comes time for them to assist you or help you or be a king, they want to make excuses about why they can't.
Right.
Go back to,
and that's exactly what it is.
Always go back to their mother. You always go back to their mother.
Yeah, because that's what happens. It always falls back on mom. Sometimes it's fair, sometimes it's not. But whether male or female, at some point in your life, you have to realize that's an excuse. Because all it takes is one person that you fall in love with, get in a relationship with, and you see that your shitty upbringing has ruined a relationship. Now, you got a choice. You can either move on to somebody else and act like nothing happened, or you can use some goddamn sense and go get some goddamn therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you love the person and you're in love with the person, common sense is say, hey, I did this person dirty. I hurt this person because I'm hurt from my past. So let me go get my shit together. I did it.
Yeah.
I knew I was ass backwards because of some shit. So it's like, come on, man, that's an excuse. And women and men, it's not a man bashing. It's a people bashing. It's a goofiness. You got to shake that shit off.
Yeah, which a lot of things in life is common sense, you know. Some people be like, oh, well, I don't know how to do this because I never had this. Okay, how did it make you feel that you didn't have that? Like you didn't have that person to do A, B, C, and D. You know, and you might have to work and figure out, you know, the steps to getting it done, but you know what has to be done. You know what you should do. You know how it made you feel when it was done to you. So if it made you feel good, you know, then that's how you treat others. If it made you feel bad, that's what you avoid at all costs, doing to somebody else. You know?
Yeah, and our kids are watching. The kids are watching. If you fail to correct your errors, you're doing nothing but teaching your kids how to live, to do the same shit you're doing, because you're living in your own errors. And and then you don't want a bad decision to become repetitive, because what does it turn to? Man, it's a character flaw.
Right.
That's what it turns into, because you became so used to it, it's a part of who you are. You know?
Yes, you know,
so the
thing I hate the most is when you hear somebody say, oh, that's just how such and such is.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody just has to deal with it. No, that's how they is with you, but they won't be that way with me because I'm not going to allow them to get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And remember, it goes back to what we're saying. Those people are adults we're talking about. That's just how they are. Now, if somebody would have checked their little monkey asses properly, they wouldn't be that way. Or at least somebody should have taught them how not to allow yourself to stay that way. That's why it's so important to have this conversation about raising that young adult, you know, because if we aren't on top of them way past 18, you go from guidance to support. And we gotta do both sometimes, and every kid is different. So, yeah.
Right.
Well, it's about that time, y'all. Oh, man, we just talked our asses off.
It rolled so fast. Yeah, bye.
Yeah, we want you to plug yourself, let everybody know what you know what you're doing, how to get in contact with you, you know how they can buy from you, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, I'm just on Instagram, nazia.edmi. I have a Shamea Secret gift sale for the holidays. You get a signed copy of Shamea Secret and a mug on my website. The link is in the bio, but it's at www.nazia@dme.com. And I have teddy bears now with little t-shirts on.
I saw. They are cute, you guys. So make sure you guys support whether you're buying for yourself, a gift for somebody else, or share it when you see it, because you may not need it. You don't know who else needs it.
Yes.
All right. We're out of time, y'all.
Okay.
Have a great night. Thank you, Nazia.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you
for coming on. Okay.
Always.
That concludes our show for tonight. Until next time, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Peace, y'all.